Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
It is. Happy Thursday. Welcome aboard. Thank you for making us a part of your afternoon. We appreciate it. Don't forget to go on the Odyssey app, search Joe Beamer under the podcast tab, and follow the show. It makes me look good. And, you know, we know how difficult that is. 803-0930, star 930 would be the number to get on when we start taking calls in the second segment. But we have big news when it comes to the electric mandate. And to tell us all about it, we have Assemblyman Paul Bologna back on the show. Paul, welcome back.
Joe, thank you very much for having me on, brother.
All right, Paul, how did we get to the point where the mandate, as of today, is paused?
So this is good news. And in all seriousness, I want to make sure that I give a shout out to you guys at WBEN, whether it's you, Dominic, David Bellavia, you know, Bowerly, you guys have all been on the front lines of this, kind of raising the alarm. And I think that the pressure has finally gotten up to Albany, you know, to where people's, you know, outrage on this whole issue has come. So I do want to commend you guys for really taking the lead on that. So if I understand correctly, the New York State Builders Association, you know, filed a lawsuit. It was in federal court. There was some negotiation between, you know, the attorneys with the judge in the state. And there's basically the state agreed that while this is still being decided upon, that they're going to put a pause on the implementation of the All Electric Buildings Act until that court case is decided, which could, you know, will be well into next year, and it could be up to a year. So while it is paused for a year for now, what I need your listeners and I want your listeners to understand, and this fight is very far from being over. We bought ourselves some time. The work that we've done has paid off, but this fight is just beginning, and it's very far from over, and we need to keep applying the pressure to Albany to make sure that we still have energy choice out here in Western New York.
So the pause is for up to a year, did you say?
Yes. I mean, if a judge or a panel has a ruling one way or another, and again, I'm not an attorney, so I apologize if any of this is legally inaccurate, but from my understanding of this and the briefing that I got this morning, is that if they make a decision prior to that, you know, that's when that decision will be implemented. And then depending on where they side, either the state or the Builders Association has the opportunity to appeal that to the Supreme Court and, you know, go from there. But the agreement, from my understanding, has been that this is paused for up to a year, which, look, any pause, in my opinion, is good because that gives us time to repeal this thing in full.
So answer me this. So say a judge comes down and says, you know, the state can go along and that's that. Do you then, in the assembly, have to vote on it before anything goes into effect? Would you have to vote on it again? What would that post-court process look like in Albany?
No. Once it's in the judiciary, I mean, whatever a judge decides, that's going to be the ultimate, decision. So if a judge says, New York State, you're not allowed to ban, natural gas, you're not allowed to force electrification mandate, that's it. And then it's up to the, Attorney General's office and, the governor or the Department of State on how, if they want to pursue that, if they want to appeal that to a higher court, the legislature's job is, as far as I'm concerned, is done in that regard. Trust me, you don't want the legislature doing anything outside of repealing this.
Now, what, from where it could go and where it is, what's the likelihood that a court in New York would uphold and say, you can't do this, that's the end of that? I mean, what are the odds that the court puts an end to this madness for good?
Well, and again, not being an attorney and talking to my counsel in Albany this morning, this is a federal court. So it's not like this is a state court where, we have concerns on, judges. This is a federal court. So, I don't know. I guess the answer to your question is I'm not sure. I'm hopeful that a, common sense person or a common sense panel of judges can take a look at this objectively and say, hey, there's some real flaws in this, both practically and from a legal standpoint. I'm hopeful that they will see that result.
Paul, we had Bill Conrad was on with Susan and Brian this morning, and he was one of the moderate Democrats that were asking the governor to put a pause on this. What's the next step for you in trying to get an overall repeal? I mean, some of these moderate Democrats, do you think they would go for a full repeal instead of, trying to push a continued pause?
I think that they would. But here's the problem. I mean, I still think that the numbers are such that in New York State, that the numbers still aren't there. I think that there is such a downstate focus that what I would really like to see is if the best case scenario, in my opinion, would be some type of carve out for Western New York or upstate New York or have this only impact New York City. I actually carry a bill in the assembly that would, just have this be applicable to cities of a million people or more, which is just New York City. So any place outside of Manhattan, you still have energy choice. And if they in Manhattan want to, have all electrification mandates, that's, that's their prerogative in Manhattan. But I think for the rest of the state, this is just not a realistic, it's not a realistic ask. It's not a realistic initiative. So again, today is good news in the fact that at least there is some acknowledgement of the complications with trying to do this. And again, this is just the All Electric Buildings Act. This is not the 100-foot rule, which you and I have talked about before, that's still awaiting the governor's signature or veto. So that has to be hashed out before the end of the year. And then there is the All Electric Vehicles Act, which is retail vehicles or retail dealers have to have a certain percentage of electric vehicles sold on their lot. Those two things, the 100-foot rule and vehicles, are still full speed ahead for January 1st, 2026.
And so again, remind us of the 100-foot rule.
The 100-foot rule is when you're going to put in a new house, if the utility line under current law is not to your house, there are programs and subsidies that the utility companies will cover that. After 2026, you're on the hook for paying that for yourself. So that's something that a lot of homeowners or home purchasers have not had to worry about in the past with natural gas. You do now, barring the governor vetoing that legislation. So again, natural gas is still becoming cost prohibitive in New York State, and that's something we still need to fight back against. So again, I want to caution all of the celebrations surrounding this today. And again, while it's a good thing, people need to understand that this fight is very, very, very far from over.
Paul, you mentioned the electric car mandate, and you know we've been talking so much about this the House mandate, obviously, because that's affecting more people. But this electric car mandate that dealers have to sell a certain percentage. What is the penalty if a dealership doesn't sell that certain percentage of electric cars? What's the state? Are they taking that penalty out on the dealership? What is the next step?
Yeah, it's just new vehicles, and frankly, I'm not sure, because I'm not sure how you're going to enforce it. And that's been another issue on all of this. And again, this is the cars and the houses. It's a matter of enforcement, too. I'm not sure how, you know, New York State code enforcement would actually realistically do all of this. And that has been a problem that a lot of the builders have had as well. You know, that they're trying to get their ducks in a row going into next year, because they want to make sure that they're covering that themselves from enforcements, fines, and penalties, which would the automobile dealers would be under as well. So there's been a lot more questions than answers with all of this. And if it sounds like I don't know, it's because no one does. That's a big part of the problem, where the state regulations have been so delayed and so trickled out that really the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. And that's where all the confusion has been on a lot of these things. So that's why the delays are good. But again, it doesn't solve the actual problem of these things are still law in New York State. So unless we do something to repeal them or fix them, this is the way it is. So again, I want to acknowledge and tip a cap to the powers that be in New York State for at least acknowledging the fact that this is a problem. But again, without some type of real courage or legislative movement, this is still ultimately going to end up taking effect.
I'm pretty sure if you ask most people who voted for this nonsense, they couldn't tell you what the penalty would be for the dealership either, Paul.
Well, that's because the law is ambiguous. And we do this, we love doing this in New York State, where we say the basically, the fine print and the details, we're going to leave it up to a commissioner of an agency to figure out. And then they don't ever end up figuring it out. So that's part of the problem, right? Where we really need to take it upon ourselves as lawmakers to actually put the details and put our names, to the details. Take some political courage for a change.
Paul, you know, I know this for a fact. There's a lot of houses going up in your district. Have you heard from anyone calling this morning saying, I rushed this house for nothing?
It's funny. I had a couple of my friends who are in this process right now losing their minds, because they were basically going under the assumption that they were going to have to electrify everything, and now they're trying to backtrack. So, again, there's some relief, but This problem is not going to be fixed. And I do want to talk about this, too. A lot of things I've been seeing from the governor and from the left, I understand the issue that she is dealing with right now. The Mondami election in New York City is shifting the political landscape of New York State. But the fact of the matter still remains, Joe, that here in West New York, this is unrealistic. For not just West New York, upstate New York, the southern tier, Binghamton, the capital region. This is unrealistic for builders. This is unrealistic for utilities. This is unrealistic for residents, frankly, to deal with. And it is driving up the cost of everything. New homes, it's driving up the cost of existing homes, because the supply of housing is still leveling off because people don't want to build. So there's a real problem here that we need to solve. And like I said, I've used the term before, it's going to take political courage. And I'll be very curious to see what's going to happen in the next year.
Paul, as you know, I always have one question that doesn't have to do with the main topic, and that is Mamdani winning in New York City. Now, you talk with politicians from all over the state there in the assembly. Is it the Mamdani Democrat the new Democrat Party in New York State from what you see in Albany?
From a numbers standpoint, I think so. From a numbers standpoint, and I could give you like a joking answer here, but I'm being serious. Like, you know, I have great relationships and great respect for my colleagues in the legislature out here in Western New York. I think that there's some good and smart people on the other side of the aisle that I enjoy working with and I can have really good conversations with. I think that the numbers are starting to tend that way in New York City. So I have some real concerns with that. And like I said, we'll see what happens. That is not where I don't think that the vast majority of voters are there. I think the vast majority of voters want to work hard, be left the hell alone, you know, keep more of their own money and make their own decisions. I think that is where the majority of the voting base in New York State is. But the elected officials from those areas are not there.
That is that's scary, Paul. I'm not gonna lie. That's scary. We'll see how it plays out. Hey, man. You know, we're gonna keep talking about this. Anything that pops up, you know my number. Text me. And you've been a big help with helping us get the word out there. And I appreciate your availability. And I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Joe, this is the issue next year. This is going to be the issue all through next session and going into next year's election. So you guys keep up the work on this one, and I'll keep doing it on my end as well.
Thank you so much. That is Assemblyman Paul Bologna joining us on the electric mandate pause. But like he said, it's a pause. It's not repealed. And if a court tomorrow, if a judge says, you know what, this can go through, it goes through. So it's a relief for today. But he did mention, and I did not mention it off the top, and I should have. He mentioned the 100-feet rule. That still goes into effect next year. The dealership rule, which if there's anyone that works at a dealership, owns a dealership, what you've been communicated about that, because it seems that no one really knows. They know that what the rule is. They don't know what the penalty would be if you don't follow it. So if there is a person that works at a dealership again or owns a dealership or is in that world and you know what the state plans to do if you don't sell a certain percentage of electric cars, I'd be fascinated to hear what has been communicated with you. I mean, we're less than 2 months from 2026. It would be nice if New York State communicated that with the dealerships. 803-0930, star 930. So Paul joined us to set up this this topic. You heard David talk about it this morning. You heard Susan and Brian talk about it this morning. I want to know from you, did the mandate, and again, this it's not repealed, it's paused, but did you react thinking that this was going to be in effect by January 1st, and now you're looking at, did you rush a home build? As Paul said, did you, you know, plan a house out being all electric? Now you might have this opportunity to not do that. How has this affected you? And, you know, Paul said it at the end of the interview there, and he's absolutely right. This is still an issue in the 26th election. Are you like me and think with this being paused that you have people that forget what New York State still intends to do? It's not New York State that's pausing it. It's the courts that are pausing it. Do you fear, again, we talked about this going into the last election, do you fear that people who, you know, aren't 100% plugged in see that this is paused, don't hear it in the news for a few months, and now this leaves the radar? I think what Paul said at the end of that interview is important. This is an issue. This is what's on the ballot. You saw what Kathy Hochul did with congestion pricing. She will find a way to maybe reword this or whatever to let these mandates continue if she's reelected in November 26. We'll talk more about that when we come back. It's Beamer on WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A pause has been put in place by a higher court, but as Assemblyman Paul Bologna, who joined us in the first segment, said, that's not, it's not a repeal. It's something to celebrate for now, but once a court decides that it's okay to continue, it can continue. And if we know anything about New York State, even if a court strikes it down, the state will find a way to get this kind of mandate in place. They're all focused on these electric mandates. Well, not all. Enough Democrats to keep this going in Albany. Our focus. What are your thoughts? 803-0930, star 930. Carl is out in Hamburg. Carl, what's your thoughts on the pause?
Well, the pause, I'm going to be very honest. I'm in the business, okay? So it is good. It's great. Thank you to the judges who are starting to look into this. But the problem is, Joe, is that it doesn't do the contractor or the consumer any good right at this moment, because here's the domino effect. When this nonsense went into play, and I call this nonsense because that's what it is. There's no scientific proof that children are dying and polar bears are dying and all this. This is just a crazy thing that everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon for. Here's the problem with this. You can put a pause. You can get rid of this, Joe, but it doesn't stop the consumer pricing that's going on with the equipment that electricity needs to run on and gas. And I'm going to give you a very good example, and you're probably going to go, oh, my God. Four mini splits, okay, unless you want to go on, you know, one of them websites like Amazon and stuff and buy it off of them and try and install it yourself, which you'll probably end up killing yourself or losing some fingers, okay? The problem is that us contractors, we're paying through the nose for equipment at a cost that is unprecedented right now. I'm going to give you a good example. Four wall mount units, all the fixings, line set, boom, 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 okay? The heat pump outside is almost $9,000, my cost. Let me ask you this. Does anybody have $9,000? If I were to sell it to them for that cost, do you realize how many people cannot afford that? It's ridiculous, Joe. Furnaces are up because they had to change over to these computer boards because of the fact that it's called A2L. There's all kinds of nonsense that has been going on since the beginning of this whole new let's go green thing. And then literally the consumer is suffering. I mean, literally suffering. People cannot afford this. They're going into debt. You have these finance companies financing them. You have people that are going into debt with contractors or with a finance company. I mean, for the love of Pete's sake, this pause isn't going to do anything good for the consumer. The consumer cannot afford the equipment. And I just don't get it. I really, really don't. The stuff is made in China, for crying out loud, most of it. Some of it's made here. But where's the break? Where's the price relief? Is this going to help? Is this going to help the contractor and the consumer save some money? I don't think so. I don't even think it's going to, period. To be honest with you, Joe.
That's fascinating. The cost of those upgraded models, are those now standard models that every house needs?
Your models that what they call them hyper, okay?
Okay.
Hyper cool. Because they could go down to 30 below zero, okay? Now, some of them are your standard that go down to about probably 4 below zero heat pumps, and they switch over to heat during the winter if you want it, okay? But you got to remember something, Joe. You need electricity to run that, okay? You need electric to run that. So what if the grid does go down? Well, you don't have a heat pump, man. Even in the summertime, if the grid goes down, you don't even have air conditioning. So now, guess what? You're suffering. Why are we going? Why are we voodooing gas, natural gas? It's really natural gas is a clean energy. I mean, I certainly wouldn't want to use propane. Propane is, I mean, I deal with it once in a while out in the country, but propane's dangerous, man. I don't even like using it. Okay, I don't even like fiddling with it, let alone fixing it. But the problem is heat pumps, they're through the roof, and to install them, it doesn't take. Let's put it this way: you got to know what you're doing when you're drilling holes for people's walls. You know, you got to know about measuring and all that stuff like that. So that's where the trade comes in, because we can put these in quickly, efficiently, and make them look good. But the problem is the pricing; it's through the roof, and people. Even us contractors, we have a hard time swallowing that pill. We really do. But your standard models and stuff, it's not cheap. It's not cheap at all. And I'm not trying to, you know, make it sound like it's doom and gloom, but the problem is that, you know, they started this nonsense with about, oh, we're going to get rid of gas. We're going to get rid of this. You're going to have to go all electric. And then all of a sudden, zing, all the pricing went up in New York State, New Jersey. Everywhere, except for your southern states and Florida and out Midwest, Arizona, Texas. All right, but the problem is is people in New York State. A lot of people don't have that residual money. They don't have that. They're trying to make their, you know, after COVID, you know, and you know what? And that's another thing too. What a really good kick in the pants that our governor gave New York State. And it's insulting. Right after COVID, after everybody suffered, you throw this into the mix. And now you're making people suffer even more. You're not for the people if you're mandating stuff like this, because people are just, they're just trying to get by. They're trying to put their kids in college and maintain their homes. And now we've got consumer pricing through the roof for heat pumps, okay, and furnaces and air conditioning. And you've got a mandate. How insulting is that? You know?
Yeah, no, I mean, but like you said, I mean, mandate or not, people are still getting priced out of a lot of things. I mean, just the living is getting more and more expensive.
And I will tell you, if everybody started doing comparison between this state, California, Florida, and other states, I will tell you right now, and I'm not going to tell you what states, but if these people started doing their research, they will find consumer pricing is a heck of a lot different than it is in New York State. And I will tell you right now, something has to give at the manufacturing level, not at the political level, not at the mandate, gas, no gas, only electric level. We have to start mandating what is going on here. You got to pause on this, but is the consumer still going to get relief when a contractor says, hey, Mrs. Jones, sorry, but even at my cost, it's $10,000. Do you got that kind of money? No, sorry, Mr. Contractor. I got to put Billy in college again.
Well, that's why Mrs. Jones and the contractor had a thing going on. What can I say?
That's funny. But, but you get what I'm saying? The consumer pricing, if the consumer pricing doesn't come down, okay, to a level where people can start getting some relief, whether it's, and we could, you know, you talk about food and stuff, but I'm talking about heating, cooling equipment. If the pricing can start coming down, people will generally, and I would say more often, accept, you know, certain pricing. But when you have, you know, through the roof pricing and a mandate, you're not helping anybody. As a matter of fact, you're pissing off the consumer and the voter at the same time. So now people are going to be like, well, you know what? I mean, I don't trust you anymore. Why would I want to vote for you? You know? So it's not even a damned if you do, damned if you don't type situation. It's a matter of pricing and a matter of, well, get rid of it completely, because if you don't get rid of it completely, all you're doing is you're suppressing the consumer and the voter even more.
100%, Carl. Appreciate the call, man. And great insight on, you know, the other stuff that's going on that people aren't talking about. It's a great insight, Carl. I really appreciate the call. 803-0930, *930 gets you on the show. Here is a voice we have not heard, I don't think, for a few months on the Joe Beamer Show. It's our friend Pat on a cell. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Joe. Some people are just luckier than others, I guess. That you don't have to listen to me.
No, hey, Pat, as much as it seems I don't, I always enjoy our conversations. I think this is what I want the show to be. I want people who disagree to feel like they can call. And, yeah, you're going to get pushback from me, but I mean, you know, it was in the paper today about someone who owns a cafe in East Aurora. I think some of our problem is we don't talk enough. We just ignore people who disagree with us, and it makes us resent them more instead of like, hey, they're a person too. Let's have a conversation. So, Pat, tell me how you view this.
First, you're right, Joe. The only way things are going to get solved is by people talking and resolving their differences. So I want to help your last caller a little bit and educate some people, because education on this subject is probably the key. You're right. You could go to Florida and buy a heat pump less expensively than you could buy in New York, because in New York you need a cold weather heat pump, one that is able to generate heat in our lower temperatures, which they don't have in Florida. secondly, he sounded like he was outfitting an entire house with four units, a new build, because this only applies to new builds. And as Dominic Cortese would tell you, these units don't require ductwork. So if you took into consideration a traditional furnace with its ductwork and all the bells and whistles on a new home, you're going to be about $18,000. So $9,000 in equipment isn't an awful lot. But, Joe, they got us looking in the wrong direction. That's why I would never be good at this roundtable that's coming up. Because they've got us so afraid of electrification. They tell us that during the storm, people wouldn't have died or would have died if they only had electric. Joe, every furnace, every stove, every hot water tank in New York State, excuse me, and in the country for the last 15 years, requires electric to work. Your furnace wouldn't work without electric. It needs an electric start and a blower motor to distribute the heat. Your hot water tank wouldn't go on because it's an electric start. Your best chance of heat is, some people say, well, your stove requires electric to turn the gas on. You could cheat and try to light it. Oh, but ask your fire chief about trying to heat your house with the stove. Carbon monoxide's a killer. But again, the people who have vested interests have us looking a different way. National Fuel just told us that they had a 14% profit last year. Are you there, Joe?
I'm here. I'm taking it all in. I'm preparing my response. I'm taking it all in, Pat.
National Fuel, 40 years ago, was a single entity. They drove for their gas, they delivered their gas, and they sold it to us. Now they split it off into three. So their drilling component is a separate entity, and their delivery component is a separate entity, and then the end user part is a separate entity. National Fuel just posted profits of 14% for last year. Their CEOs, their CFOs, multi-million dollar bonuses and multi-million dollar compensation packages from all three entities, Joe. So if they were a single entity again, and you use that 14% mark from this year, which is about the same as they had last year, I think it's a little higher. We're talking about profits of 42%, and we don't think we need to regulate a monopoly?
But it's not regulating a monopoly. It's trying to get completely rid of fuel. That's the state's move. The state's move is to put extra stress on an outdated power grid, and have no one with access to natural fuel.
Joe, Susan and Brian had somebody on last week that said Western New York's grid is in good shape. It's in the more rural communities downstate that would suffer, but not in metropolitan areas.
So we don't care about the rural areas in downstate?
Joe, we don't care about people that don't receive SNAP benefits.
No one's ever said that.
Okay, well, I don't know how many people from your station were calling Nick Langworthy to say, get back and vote for, get these people their SNAP benefits.
I said that there should be legislation. I mean, if we want to talk about the shutdown for 2 seconds, Pat, I said that there should have been, in reopening the government, there should have been legislation that says that you can't close the government.
So let me ask you this question. We'll see where you are on
but
that.
Let's go back to electrification.
Well, just the one question first. Joe, do you condemn the president for going to the Supreme Court to withhold SNAP benefits from the poor people?
I think
he went to the United States Supreme Court.
Can I answer the question?
Kids weren't eating.
I think that was to force the Democrats to go and vote. However, Pat, I don't think people's food. I mean, I do think we should question why so many people are dependent on the government, but. I don't think we should be making people hungry so either political party can prove a point. That's why I said I think the part of this reopening the government should have been that you can't close the government as a strategic tactic for either party, because they're not the ones suffering. They still get paid. So I think it's dirty when either side uses it. And I will give you that I don't think anyone should have gone hungry because there's bickering in D.C.
I agree. And for every $1 in food assistance, it generates $1.75 in economic activity. So see, these programs are designed to make sure middle-class guys like you and I can eat too, not just the poor. $1.75 in economic activity for every dollar we spend on food assistance.
That's great. I do think we need more incentive. Like, you know, maybe Elizabeth Warren doesn't need to go out there and say, hey, that company you built, you didn't build it. But go on. Pat, I got 3 minutes left in the segment. I want you to finish your thoughts on electrification.
So, Joe, I think before we condemn the governor, we need to look at the facts that greenhouse gases do exist. If you don't believe it, go start your car in the garage and close the door. See how it works out for you 8 hours later. That's just a microcosm of an example. But if we want a lower energy crisis, then let's ask these suppliers, why are you getting paid so much? Why are you making so much? We complain about car prices, but we don't care that Mary Barba's making $26 million a year. To do what? Does she got some special brain? Does the guy who run National Fuel have some special brain that requires him to make $13 million a year or whatever he's making?
But Pat, all this aside, because we could go through the CEO and the people who run every company in America. At the end of the day, the state saying that you don't have the right to have a fuel hookup to your house, I think that goes too far for some people.
Joe, the state told you he had to wear, well, you weren't alive then, had to wear a seatbelt, had to have an airbag.
That's
you
not
complain
for my,
about that?
Well, that's not for my, that's for my safety, and people did complain about it. I played that video a few weeks ago.
Yeah, they tell you.
They also told you you can't drink and drive. But I think there's a difference between that and what can I do in my house. If I want a gas stove, I know Democrats make fun of that. I love having a gas stove, right? I think as a, well, I'm a renter, but I think as a resident in New York State that pays his fair share of everything he does, if I want a gas stove, if I want a gas fireplace, I should be able to have those things. And we live in a cold, cold part of New York State. And you can say what you want about, well, if the power goes out, if you have more stress on the grid, it's more likely to go out. If you're transporting kids on an electric bus in Wilson, New York, and, you know, it's freezing cold, that battery's not going to have the life. You're putting those kids in danger by driving in rural areas on an electric bus battery. It doesn't make sense. We're not to the point that any of this is 100% foolproof. I think it's to pat ourselves on the back. I think, really, Albany just wants to pat themselves on the back and say, hey, Bill Gates, look what we did.
Joe, and we'll never get to that point unless we try and fail.
How about try and fail in the lab, right? Pat, I'll tell you this. Give me a car that can go 1,500 miles on a single charge, and I'll start talking to you about electrification.
Joe, they developed chemotherapy in a lab, but they had to test it on humans. Many humans died during those. So part of scientific discovery is failure. Part of getting an electric car and learning how to use it and learning the stresses is sometimes failing.
But there's a difference between that. You're going to force us to test something. We're not sick, Pat. You know, if I had cancer and they've tried everything, you know, I probably would try something experimental. My grandfather tried something experimental when he had cancer and every other avenue was blocked off. This is just people everyday life in New York State saying, hey, we're doing this now. You're the guinea pig. I don't think that's the direction to go in.
And yet the sponsor, just as you came out of break, sells electric heat pumps. Dominic Ortiz raves about them.
Nothing wrong with them. But you have a choice. You have a choice. Pat, I blew up the clock for you. I'm way late. I'm going to get yelled at by my boss. I appreciate the call as always. 803-0930, *930. Your thoughts on this when we come back. It's Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN. And don't be fooled. I do like talking to Pat. I mean, it's nice to have conversation with people that you disagree with, and I hope Pat calls. I hope he doesn't wait as long to call back in again. Yes, hour number two. Thanks for hanging around. Talking electrification mandates here on WBEN. Taking your calls, your thoughts, 803-0930-*930. Pat called in right before the break. And of course, as always, Pat took us a little over the clock. But that's, hey, I appreciate listening. But, you know, my whole thing is you have options. And, I mean, there are Democrats, too. If you remember, we had Tim Myers on Hardline, like, I think a year and a half, 2 years ago now. And he was talking about his concerns with the grid. So it's not just Republicans saying that. There are moderate Democrats, especially here in Western New York, who are saying their concerns with the grid. And, yeah, I don't want kids on an electric-powered school bus to be part of an experiment. I'm sorry. That's just, we get cold winters. The cold runs those electric car batteries down. And I don't think anyone wants their kid on a school bus, you know, run by a battery in mid-February. Doug is in Depew. Hey, Doug, you've been hanging on. Thank you so much. What are your thoughts on all this?
Excuse me. How you doing?
Doing good, Doug. Thanks for hanging on.
Good. Okay. I'm my family, meaning my dad, has a significant knowledge and has been a part of the energy industry since 1948 in an international way, so we have a good perspective. So I'm trying to figure out the best way. Let's just do a little history. What I believe, the first natural gas well in the world, some will say just in North America and South America, but I believe in the world, was dug in Fredonia, New York in 1817. The first oil well, again, I believe in the world of commercial capacity, was dug in Titusville, Pennsylvania, 30 minutes south of Erie. And the oil was refined to kerosene for light, and natural gas was originally used for light. In fact, the first utilities of natural gas would be like Philadelphia Light and Natural Gas, because it produced light. And the reason why is because our European people, the English, the French, the Italians, the Dutch, the Spanish, put a moratorium, as we were a newer country, on harvesting our own whales for oil for light, which is what was used then. So that was the beginning of the natural gas industry, and I believe in the world, but at least in North America. And even in, if you know where the new Channel 7 building is across the street, it's that old facade. And
yeah.
So that used to be Iroquois Gas before it came National Fuel's Buffalo Service Center. And that was built in around the Civil War time. They used to manufacture natural gas there. When you dig, so from the ground to your burner tip, that cubic foot of natural gas moves seven different times, three sets of pipelines and two sets of storages. Each one of those, the feds, the states, the counties, and the towns that they operate in put a value-added tax on your commodity of the cubic foot of natural gas. And then, and let's say, just Erie County. So National Grid and NYSEG also sell natural gas. And before the 90s, they were owned by Americans, American companies. Now National Grid is owned by England, and Spain owns NYSEG. And they're the ones who are pushing a lot of this electrification through wind and solar. And we spent, now let's just go back to those first wells. Not 1 cent of government money was given to any of those people who developed all that. Not one. And now all this stuff pushing electrification is totally government mandated, totally government pushed for reasons beyond me. Carbon dioxide is good for the atmosphere. To remove it removes food through photosynthesis to everything that's green. Same with sulfur. And that's why we have more trees, like, you know, now than we did in the beginning of this country because of the burning of coal, oil, and natural gas, which produces sulfur, carbon dioxide, and water, which is beneficial to all that. Okay, so now when we come to the electrification, the government, in my opinion, should not be a part of any of this because National Grid is Erie County, New York's biggest property taxpayer at $1.1 billion. So National Grid pays $1.1 billion a year in just one tax to one county. National Fuel is the second, which is $800 million to Erie County alone. That's just one tax, the property tax. So, and then NYSEG is like our fourth. There's one other that's between those two and then NYSEG because they don't have that big of infrastructure in this area. So you have all these things, and then you have all these politicians, you know, who don't know their elbow from a hole in the ground about how it is to generate electricity, how to dig natural gas out of the ground, odorize it, dry it, and prepare it for use. It costs billions of dollars. And we have an infrastructure that's the best in the world, and they're destroying it. And the guy before who said that hot water tanks use electricity, they absolutely do not.
Yeah,
they have piezo switches, and ground source heat pumps are junk. You have to be over 45 on your average of your ambient air temperature for them to work. And the other thing you talked about, ductwork, well, if we still had production of steel on this, you know, city of Buffalo is the third largest steel producer in the world at one time, and ductwork was cheap, and so was everything else. So my point is this electrification is just another, outline of how government, from the feds to states to counties, the towns, the villages, they don't know what they're doing. And that's not a derogatory statement. It's just it takes engineers, people who work, who actually do this work to produce it. Now, some of these companies are run by human resource managers. Whoop-de-doo. And you have a lot of problems going on all at once. And the electrification, and I don't want to be – I'm not – you know, don't get mad at me, but fascism is privately owned government control. And if you don't think we have that, on both sides of the fence, we do. It started with Mussolini and Hitler, and it's not because of their craziness, but that was their economic policy. And socialism is redistribution of wealth, which we have a lot of that stuff. But these bureaucrats, like the Federal Energy Regulation Commission, the Public Service Commission, they're just bureaucrats, and they don't know how and what it takes to bring all this stuff and to destroy it. Is just because you want to force solar and wind. Solar and wind wouldn't be happening because the market doesn't want it and it doesn't need it. Because you're pushing, you're giving trillions of dollars. It's just like, you know, everybody gets mad at guys like Rockefeller and all those people, but they started their business with no government money, zero. And they produced hundreds of thousands of jobs and created economies where where people thrived and you didn't have to worry about welfare checks going out because everybody worked. And in this situation, this electrification is not only forced electrification is illegal, unconstitutional, and downright immoral. And it's disgusting. And electric has always been a kilowatt electricity, whatever it goes to the BTUs, there's 100 or 1,000 cubic feet to one BTU of gas, or vice versa that. And it's always been three times the cost of natural gas. And they did this, remember, in Carter's administration, when that's another thing. We should not be involved in OPEC. We don't need to sell them more oil than we buy from them. We can just handle ourselves. But when Carter was in office, remember, they had what they called the oil embargo. And there was a lot of homes in Western Europe that were all electric. I've dealt with a lot of them. North Tonawanda had a whole bunch Orchard Park had a whole bunch. And once they pulled that embargo off, the price, you know, the price was four times the heat in the hot water and your dryer and stove and away you go. And the other thing is with stoves and the discussion about carbon monoxide, the reason why we get carbon monoxide and indoor air quality problems is because we force people to make their homes too doggone tight. And then you throw that on a 30-year mortgage at 5%, there's no energy savings there.
Interesting stuff, Doug. Interesting stuff. Appreciate the call, Doug in DePew. Let's go to, you know, again, for me, it comes down to, and Doug pointed out, you know, electricity is more expensive, but it just goes back to, professional, followed by expert, followed by expert, followed by expert says that we do not have the capability to take on the extra demand of electricity. We've heard that over and over again. And, you know, to Pat's point before Doug, I don't want to be part of an experiment. I don't want to test to see if this works. You know what works? Our system now. And if you're so concerned about global warming, then maybe you should fly over to China and scold them for what they do to the environment. Because regardless of what you do here, it's not going to cancel out what's going on overseas. So let's go to Greg on a cell phone. Greg, your thoughts on the courts demanding a pause?
Well, it's absolutely wrong. Your previous caller was correct. So the cost of using electrical energy from kilowatts to BTUs is 3.415, and that's how many BTUs you get per watt. It is 100% efficient, but it's about three times the cost to operate. So I've been in industry for 42 years, recently retired. I work for big contractors, mechanical contractors. I was a service and installation guy of all this equipment you're talking about. Large boilers, small boilers, variable refrigerant flow heat pump systems, various manufacturers, serviced it, installed it, and from what I've seen in the last 10 years, there's only really, I don't want to get into discrediting any other manufacturers, the best manufacturers of heat pump equipment, the tip of the sword, who really started the hyper heat pumps that are high heat capacity at lower temperatures is Mitsubishi and Fujitsu. They're probably two of the best. But the problem is they're okay. They're more costly to operate, even in a well-insulated envelope. And losing natural gas is a big problem. Electric heat recovery in hot water and air is a higher and longer time period. Operation costs are probably going to be more compared to natural gas with pricing. It's a big disadvantage in this climate, northwest, northeast. It's actually punishing the consumer. What's going to happen is, and you're seeing it, the only way that the National Fuel Gas and NYSEG can raise utility costs is through the Utility Commission and Governor. And what they're doing now to push their proposal of electrification is purposely raising it, because people are going to see the contrast to low gas prices compared to electric prices. That makes it worse. So if they bump up the price of natural gas through the Commission and Governor, it makes it less painful and they think it's not as bad. That is a big problem, okay? That's their angle right now. The other problem is, as many of your government officials and legislation in New York State are clueless. They are persuaded by money, either going into their campaign coffers, special interest groups, the manufacturers of the equipment, and with an agenda on energy. And a lot of that's government subsidized, but the taxpayer's paying for that. So it's a big problem. It's not going the right direction. Somebody needs to follow the money trail. They're receiving money in campaign donations, cryptocurrency, or cash. No one ever goes after it. I'm not making false allegations. But none of it makes sense from a physics or, you know, proper energy management perspective for the consumer in New York State. Who's being punished is the taxpayer and the residents of this state. That's why there's such an exodus, correct?
Correct. People want to have freedoms and people want to have money, and both of those things are taken away in New York State.
So I think corruption is part of the decision that New York State's pushing, because of the rest of the country, even energy experts, even companies that are contractors who would, you know, exclusively profit off of this by all the equipment changeouts, disagree with the policy. And what's going on too is this all started about 4 years ago. There's brief legislation there that Kathy Hochul tried to propose, or Cuomo, I forget which one it was, that your electrical energy costs based on your residence is based on annual income. Okay, that's socialism. So they wanted a percentage of that. The reason they wanted a percentage of that is because our grid system right now and infrastructure, no way can handle electrification. Literally, it would take 50 years. You need larger transmission lines, more transmission lines, higher kilowatt transformer banks. It'll never work correctly until that's done. What's going to happen is you are going to have brownouts. Now, if they want to test, you have to do a beta test. You can't electrify New York State. They got to go to northeastern states, midwestern states, northern midwestern states like Minnesota. You need to take a small village or town and electrify it and see what the consequences are and how the performance is. You can't mandate a whole state. It's idiotic. They don't even know. They're just pushing the agenda. And electrification on vehicles, total electrification, is a big mistake, especially in this area. The vehicles weigh 50% more. They have a limited amount of power storage. If you get caught in a thruway in a snowstorm, they shut it down. You're going to dissipate your electricity by heating the driver's compartment. You don't have engine combustion and a glycol system generate heat from the combustion process that drives the vehicle. Now you're using solar electricity out of the battery pack. That's a huge problem. The only way to get the vehicles and retrieve those vehicles, think about this. There's 40 electrical vehicles stranded on the New York State thruway. The only thing they can do is change the battery pack or bring out diesel fuel or gasoline generators and recharge the vehicles, correct? Or let them and tow them off the thruway. Am I right?
Right, yeah.
it's a disaster. But nobody thinks about this. They've already done the experiment in New York City. Nobody talks about it. Look it up on electric sanitation and buses. It was nothing but a nightmare a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Well,
they were breaking down. They had to run their hydraulic systems. They had to run heavy payloads. They didn't have the battery capacity to operate properly in garbage pickup. It took recharging time. Man hours were lost. Nobody talks about all this. It's not going to work. The only thing that's feasible is probably the hybrid engine system with electric batteries would probably work. That'd be the first thing you'd want to introduce. But the state has no clue. I don't mean to be demeaning to them or condemning them. We have legislators in New York State that are persuaded mostly by greed and money, by special interest groups and corporations trying to push their agenda on the New York State taxpayer. And the same's going on in California. That's why you're seeing a massive exodus of residents and taxpayers out of those states. Agreed?
Greg, you know this stuff better than I. I mean, you're absolutely right. We're up against a break. I really appreciate the call, Greg. I mean, the thing about the cars on the thruway, that's what I've been preaching. It's just in February, I don't want to be stuck during a snowstorm in an electric car anywhere in Western New York. It doesn't seem ideal for the climate. 803-0930, star 930. We'll continue taking your calls after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Joe Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
That's Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson then made a deal and bought most of the Beatles library from out under Paul McCartney. Interesting story. Good callback, Tanner. David said he wouldn't want to, you know, he wouldn't want to hear say at a Paul McCartney concert now in 2025. Say's on the set list. I'm not upset. 12 of you that are going to the Paul McCartney concert. I mean, take it all in. That's awesome. 803-0930, star 930. We're talking about electrification. Nate is on a cell, and he has been holding during the break. Nate, thanks for your patience. It's how do you feel about all this?
Well, I just want to say I'm not really I'm not an expert in this field. I'm just, an average citizen. I work in the healthcare field. But from my point of view and just kind of seeing – learning through history and stuff like that. I think it's, I want to say wrong to say that the politicians don't know what they're doing. I think they know exactly what they're doing. And it really just goes back to holding their control and power and, this plea of socialism/communism that they're trying to drive through New York State and California. And electrification is just a way to secure that. I mean, they turn, your house or building, your car into electric only. They can control the price and deplete what you make because they have, more control of it. And the less money you have and the more dependent you are on the government for anything, that helps secure their power. So I really don't think it's, they just don't know what they're doing. This is just another way to secure their power and keep their safety net. And the less of a middle class or people with, ability to move and have different options, that does not play in their favor. So, from your house to even the car, I've gone back and forth. I've lived out on the West Coast, so I've traveled back and forth, and I cannot imagine having to make that road trip with an electric car and stopping every few couple hundred miles to find a charging station that's not exactly right on the thruway. And then wait, 30 minutes to charge up my car because I can only use so many fast, rapid charges. It all just goes back to ways they can control you and deter you from other stuff. And the more control they have over you, the more secure their positions of power are on it.
That's a fabulous point, Nate. You talk about every time I drive down to Virginia for a Virginia Tech game, I just think, what hell this would be if, and that's not even driving all the way out west, that's just driving down to Virginia, what hell this would be if I had to wait for a charge, like you said, every couple hundred miles. You know, I'd be in a Sheetz parking lot. I'd be broke because I'd be getting myself a meal every time I stopped to get me through the 30 minutes. I'd be fat, and, you know, I'd miss the game by 3 days.
Exactly. And, you know, the more you're controlling, that kind of just deters. And I think it goes to an overall arching point. It's just the society as a whole. I think to look at each individual thing, you got to look at it, you know, obviously. But I think viewing each in its own separate box kind of deters from the main point. You know, the less you travel, the more you're stuck. There is amongst people. That all just plays in their power and security. You know, you just sit at home and you turn the TV on, whatever it says, you know, that's what you're going to believe. And they mask it all in the name of, you know, the climate change or global warming, whatever they're feeling that day that they're going to call it, to make you feel good of, oh, I got to, you know, incur a more cost to help save the environment, which is, like you said, a farce. I mean, go over to, you know, people need to go and actually experience to see what does it look like in China and India and all these other countries in Asia and the Middle East and South America that really, they don't care about the pollution. Whatever we do is going to be at a net nothing to the environment. And the only thing that's going to happen is you're going to have less money and not going to be able to do things.
Hey, Nate, really appreciate the call. Nate on a cell. I mean, I've pointed to a lot of things where I think, especially in New York State, yeah, they want to, hey, people are leaving. How do we get them to stop leaving? Hey, you have an electric car. Try to get down to Florida in that, right? But these kind of mandates, it scares more people off. And, I look at it this way. The people that are being scared away, the people scared away is not people who are fed up. That's the word I'm looking for. The people who are fed up with the overreaching of New York State. I mean, they're the ones that are more likely, if they had stayed, to vote for a change next November. And that's why it's more of an uphill battle for Republicans. But I think Assemblyman Bologna is right. You got to keep this at the forefront. You got to keep this at the top of the discussion going into the gubernatorial election. Kathy Hochul has not let go of electrification mandates. It's the courts that have paused them. Kathy Hochul has nothing to do with the pausing. And as soon as the courts let go, they'll be implemented. Or if the courts say this can't go forward, Kathy Hochul and Democrats will write up another way to get this law in the books. They are going to go through with these mandates. They're going through with the 100 feet fuel hookup that's going to be devastating to people who are building homes, right? Because now, you know, I mean, she's going through with the, well, Democrats are going through, not just Kathy Hochul. Democrats are going through with a 35%, I believe it's 35% electric cars that dealerships have to sell. So once this is out of the courts, it'll either be implemented or, as I believe, after the gubernatorial election, it'll be reworded and implemented again. They're not going to let go of this. The left Democrats. Now, if Republicans can work with moderate Democrats, especially here in Buffalo and Western New York and upstate New York, then maybe you can get a permanent repeal. I just don't think the far left wing of the party is going to let this kind of stuff go. This is where you do see the difference between moderates. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this. I got to give Jean Vinyl some credit. She said today that it's a good thing for both businesses and homeowners. It's not a good idea for Western New York, talking about the electrification mandate. Now, Jean Vinyl is, I think, you know, I wouldn't say a far left, but a pretty left Democrat. Jean Vinyl's been at the protests, so it's not like she's, I would never view Jean Vinyl as a moderate Democrat, but she's right on this. It's not a good idea for Western New York. And she points to the Bills Stadium and the Bills using gas-powered equipment. What does that say? You know what, Jean Vinyl? You're absolutely right. And hopefully more Democrats in Albany, Jean Vinyl's in Erie County government, hopefully more Democrats in Albany get the, you know, I want to say wake up, but that's get the idea that this isn't good, and it's not a good look, and it's not good for especially for people in upstate New York. It's just not doable. The electric school buses, it's not doable. It's not smart. Why, if there's any doubt that in mid-February those buses can make it from, you know, neighborhoods and rural areas in Western New York to the school and back, there's any doubt, and there is, there's no way this should be implemented. So hopefully we start seeing some more peeling back of this. But we're not going away. We're not going away. We're going to keep talking about this and keep reminding people that it's just a pause. This has not been repealed. And like I said, I think Kathy Hochul has kind of forgotten about Western New York, and I think she is ready to go full forward with it once it's out of the courts. But we shall wait and see. All right. This is a little bit of Joe Beamer commentary at the end on something that we aren't talking about. So today, while I was prepping the show, and by the way, I prepped a full show of a lot of different topics, and we only did electrification, which means I got some great stuff to talk about tomorrow. But while I was prepping the show, I got an email with my colonoscopy prep. Now, I have a colonoscopy, just so everyone knows. I have the dates wrong. My colonoscopy is January 2nd, and I have to arrive at 11:45. Okay? I got that. On down the sheet, it talks about the stuff I have to take the night before the colonoscopy. Now, this is January 2nd, right after the high holiday time. I will be preparing myself on New Year's Day. I will be preparing myself for a colonoscopy. And now, I'm sure I know there's a lot of people in the audience, you guys. You guys and gals have been through this. I have not. I'm 37. I was supposed to get my first colonoscopy at 30. Whoops. Finally went through, scheduled it. It's on the schedule. So here are the list. It says, purchase these preparation materials. You ready for this? A bottle of Marilax, 238 grams. Ducalax laxative, 4 pills. 5 mg's each. Gatorade or Crystal Light lemonade, 64 ounces, 2 32-ounce bottles. Yellow, green, or clear only. And then it tells me that I need to eat a low-fiber diet for 1 week before your exam. Avoid seeds, nuts, popcorn, and other high-fiber foods. Then goes on to tell me that I need to arrange for somebody to drop me off and pick me up because I will not be allowed to leave alone, and the entire thing will take 2 to 3 hours. Let me tell you, that doesn't have me excited for my colonoscopy. I am dreading New Year's Day. I feel like I'll be watching the college football playoffs and making a run back and forth to a certain room in the house. But I've got this all now. It's real. It's happening. And as we get closer, I am going to have to do a show asking for your advice on what I should expect the day before, the day of, and the day after. Now, it does give me a nice little schedule here. 3 p.m. on the day before your colonoscopy, take the 4 Ducalax pills, mix the entire Marilax bottle with 64 ounces of Gatorade in a large pitcher, stir and place in the refrigerator. At 5 p.m., 2 hours later, drink the Marilax solution during the next 2 hours. Drink 8 ounces of Marilax solution every 15 minutes. It goes on to say, you may not enjoy the taste. Try drinking it cold, use a straw, or take small sips. Use a measuring cup or large drinking glass to measure 8 ounces. Man, what am I in for? I mean, obviously, it's all to make sure everything's okay. It's all to make sure that anything that needs to be prevented is prevented. But they gave me this on November 13th, and now I've got a little under 2 months to get the medicine cabinet ready and prepare myself for my first colonoscopy. Is that I know I'm having it a little earlier than most people, but I was supposed to have it 7 years ago. Is that like the first, is that, you know, hey, welcome to old age, get used to doing this every 5 years? We'll see. Like I said, as we get closer, we'll do a colonoscopy show. Coming up next, he's done a fart show. It's Tom Bowerly. Hey, Tom.
Not too terribly far apart there. I'm just saying. But yeah, I'm sorry to hear that you've got to start that nonsense early, because typically they say, what, 45 is when the baseline colonoscopy is supposed to take place. So obviously your situation is different, and I'm sorry to hear that, because I always thought you were perfect at, you know.
Well, it's family history, Tom, so don't want to take any chances.
I totally get I get what you're saying. Yeah. Absolutely. Actually, they're going to be doing the colonoscopy with a very high voltage power line. I don't know if they explained that to you, but
oh, no.
It's going to be one of those very, very thick ones. You might be a little bit sore for a while sitting on the donut, but we're going to be talking about electricity in New York State today, Joe. There's a shock.
Yeah. For sure. There's a shock. Now, Tom, the pause is in place, but you know, I'm Mr. Conspiracy. I think the pause is in place, and the Democrats will let the courts hold this right up until Election Day, and then just like congestion pricing, once the election has passed, hey, we're free to do whatever we want.
Yeah, Joe, that's what concerns me. Brought that up yesterday when we were talking with Mr. Nanula, who is going to join us once again after the 3 o'clock news, that this is really, in a way, it's good timing for Kathy Hochul, because this would have given Stefanik a major issue against which she could, I think, succeed against Kathy Hochul and her all of her left-wing fans in New York City. And now that it's not going to be in effect, apparently, because litigation can take forever and the wheels of justice grind very, very slowly, people are not going to feel the pain before the election of 2026. Now, I wouldn't put anything past any politician at any level. And I just assure you of one thing, Joe. Kathy Hochul is not smart enough to have engineered this. People around her must have, if that, in fact, is the motive. And that's why the state has said, you know what, we're not going to enforce this thing in January. We're going to let the courts figure this out. Really?
Yeah, I don't disagree. I remember congestion pricing. I mean, it was a week later. Oh, you know what? We're going to go through with it anyway. Oh, can you believe that? You know, I guess the economy changed in 4 months.
Yeah. Well, again, if anybody who trusts the politicians of New York State, yeah, I'm sorry, but they deserve what they get. I hate to say it, but it's a fact. A fact is a fact.
Yeah, I feel for all the developers and the new homeowners who put all this money forward to get a rush home build. Or started planning out an electric home to be built next summer. And now, as you know, Assemblyman Paul Bologna said, he's got people he's talking to that are trying now to peel that back and hopefully introduce natural gas to the home before it's completed.
Well, apparently there are some legal precedents. I think Delaware is one of them, where this kind of stuff was verboten, requiring people to go all electric or limiting people's access to natural resources. And we're going to talk with Phil Nanula with Essex Homes coming up after 3 o'clock. He's got a lot more information than I, because this is what he does. He's a home builder, and the electric mandate, which was to have gone into effect in just a month and a half, cost him several million dollars in contracts recently.
Wow. Yeah, and you know, this is a pause, but the thing that concerns me is that they're still throwing hundreds of millions at districts to go electric school buses, and I just can't tell you how scary that is. Mid-February, thinking that there'll be kids in Wilson, New York, not this year, but 1 year in Wilson, New York, on a, you know, going to their rural home on an electric powered school bus. I can't think of any parent that would feel comfortable with that.
Well, the electric school buses cost about as much as a new Rolls Royce or a new Bentley and possibly a new Lamborghini. They are not cheap vehicles whatsoever. So every time you see an electric school bus, just think, hey, that could be a Rolls Royce or a Bentley, maybe a Lamborghini. And remember me. Thank you. And by the way, you said still going. And that reminds me of your night before your colonoscopy. And did your doctor not tell you about the little thing that, you know, they've got tests that you can do at home and send certain material through the post office and you know, not have any of the risks of a colonoscopy?
Well, because of my condition, my family history, I have to have the full experience is what I was told.
Why? Because the colonoscopy center needs more revenue and the doctor gets a rake off from it? I'm sorry. I'm just skeptical about money, about doctors after COVID.
I know. I was just told because of my family history that the smartest thing would be to go through the full colonoscopy. And I'm going to listen for the first time, Tom, and we'll see after my first experience what I want to do in 5 years.
I can't wait for your colonoscopy show, Joe. I really can't. The worst part is how hungry you're going to be.
Oh, that's, yeah, I mean, I told someone it's at 12:30. They go, middle of the day, that's the worst.
Yeah. Color me skeptical, Joe, but, you know, good luck.
Well, thank you, Tom. I'm sure you and I will be talking about this for the next 2 months before
well,
it
if you decide to get a vasectomy, I can do that show with you, too.
Well, yeah, that's a conversation. Well, Tom, that's a conversation for later as well.
You know, if I decide to become a woman, we'll have that conversation.
Tom Bowerly is up next. He'll continue our discussion on the electrification pause. That's after the news with Tom Puckett. I'll be back here tomorrow for a Friday show, 1 o'clock on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.